This morning, I'm continuing this series in the Beatitudes. Now, this morning's one is about meekness. And I think out of all the Beatitudes, I think I got a bit of the short straw. Blessed are the meek, because I don't quite know what meek means. You know, it's not the sort of thing that you say to people, you're looking very meek today, or I'm feeling a bit meek. We don't really use it these days. But Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. 10 words that challenge and transform and turn the values of our world and even our church upside down. When Jesus spoke these 10 words, an explosion went off in this world. And I'm going to try and convey to you this morning the impact that that can have on each of our lives today. But this word meek, it's not very sort of well used these days. I looked up on Google, as you do these days, what it means. And you get this lovely graph of how often the word is used. So you can see that 200 years ago, it was quite a popular word, actually. But nowadays, it's just pretty much lost its use altogether. Now, I'm going to come back and look at what the word means in a while. But I wanted just to start by saying, if you're anything like me, then you're constantly trying to improve yourself. I'm always looking for feedback. I'll ask for feedback from this talk so that I can make it better next time. Or feedback so I can be a better father, a better worker. I'll even read the Bible so that I can be a better Christian. Now, that all sounds very humble and very, you know, plausible, but actually, it's all tied up in a brokenness as well. It's all tied up in my need to feel okay about myself, to not offend others, to be okay, to not hurt. It's tied up in my pride. And we live in this culture of self-fulfillment, constantly wanting to grow. But of course, growth isn't a purpose in itself. Growth is something that comes out of a relationship with God. And I say this because it's easy, when we think of these words of Jesus in these Beatitudes, to think that they're all about how do we improve ourselves? How do we make ourselves better? What do I need to do? But that would be to miss their entire point. These Beatitudes, which we've been looking at over the past few weeks, they don't start off with advice from Jesus. They don't say, you need to go and do this. Or you need to, you know, say this. They're statements of truth. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. They're statements of truth, exhortations by Jesus of what he came to do. Our job is to believe them. When Jesus was asked this question, what must we do to do the work God requires? He answers, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And so we need to believe in Jesus. Believe the words he spoke. So first and foremost, these Beatitudes, we need to receive them as statements, to believe them and then to stand on them. They're less about what do I do and much more about who is God? Who am I? What do I need to believe? And once we believe, then God starts to change us, change our perspective, change our hearts and our motivation. And it's then that he uses us to do his work. So all that's to sort of give a rather long introduction, but I think it's really important to keep that perspective of what these Beatitudes are. They're not things that we need to go out and do. It's a promise. It's a truth that God is speaking. And we're looking at the third one this week. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. So what does Jesus mean by when he uses this word meek? Well, he's talking about those of us that feel powerless. We're vulnerable, easily imposed upon, humble. And I want to consider this from two perspectives. Firstly, from those of us that are in that place, that we feel powerless. and vulnerable. And secondly, from the perspective of those of us that don't necessarily see ourselves in that position. So firstly, those of us who feel powerless. Perhaps we're feeling low, taken advantage of, vulnerable. An extreme case would be perhaps someone who's been trafficked into slavery. But there's also many people trapped in poverty or trapped by a system that they cannot get out of themselves. So if you're feeling like life is over, that you're end of your tether, that everything is conspiring against you, then I've got good news for you. Jesus came to this earth for you. You will inherit the earth. These are words of grace. To those of us who are not in a place of power and strength, this is the good news. Jesus came to rescue those of us who are in dire straits. Jesus is not talking about those with good attitudes or who do good works. He's talking about the people in dreadful, tragic situations. This might be our current situation. It might be something that a place that we've been in the past. We might have friends. Or if we look at the news, we can see many people in these situations. Now, Jesus doesn't speak these words just to make people feel better. Jesus isn't saying, yeah, I understand that you're in a miserable place, but you're actually blessed. You know, you should be delighted. That doesn't bring hope. That's just cruel and condescending. What Jesus is doing is he's actually, by speaking these words, he is changing their situation. These are words of action. They're not words of comfort, or not just words of comfort. His words are doing something. They're declarations. So it's a bit like when an umpire or a referee, at that critical point in a game, makes a decision that changes everything. Or a judge proclaims those words, "You are innocent." That person's life is changed forever. These 10 words turn everything upside down. It's like the ancient Israelite father Isaac, when he gives his blessing to Jacob. His words are not just something to make Jacob feel good. They're action words. They change everything for that son. He will inherit everything at that point. Now, if you know the story, the blessing should have actually gone to Esau, instead of Jacob. Instead, Jacob receives everything, but that's another story. The point is that these words of Jesus have power. He came to turn the etiquettes of this world upside down, to rescue the lost, those that are powerless. And so when we believe this truth, that we will inherit the earth, how can we believe this? How do we know it's true? Well, it's like Isaac. He had the authority to give his inheritance to Jacob, because it was his to give away. And similarly, God created this world. He created the earth. It belongs to him. He's the owner. And he, in the person of Jesus Christ, proclaimed who will inherit the earth. And this news is the antidote to lack of hope and despair. Because when this light comes into our life, it transforms our perspective. We live knowing that we're valuable, not worthless. That we're loved, not rejected. And that we're known, not forgotten. They're words of hope and life. So what about those of us who don't relate necessarily to feeling meek or being in a place of powerlessness or vulnerability at the moment? Maybe we've got a job. It might be good. Maybe it just pays the bills. We might have relationships. We're doing all right, thanks very much. Are we blessed as well? Well, before we look at meekness in this context, let's look at this word blessed a bit more. I know Rich and Simon have talked about it, because blessed often gets confused and misunderstood as happiness. And we so often go through life searching for happiness in material things, being jealous of others who have stuff. If only we had that, if only we had those things, we'd be happy. I used to work at a local charity called Adventure Plus, and I helped organise this canoe challenge down the River Thames. And there was at one point that we, as we go down the river, there's these enormous, beautiful homes with grounds that come down to the river. And one of the chaps in the canoe was sort of admiring these, well, they're like mansions with estates, really. And John Cox, who's with us this morning, he sort of leant forward and said, "Yeah, don't worry, the people that live in those homes, they're all miserable." To this, the chap responded, "Yeah, but it's a classier kind of miserable." The pressure from our culture to seek happiness through stuff and achievement is huge. Happiness has become like a right in our society. We're all searching for this thing called happiness. One of my favorite films, The Pursuit of Happiness, has Will Smith portraying a man's struggle in New York, rising from the depths of poverty to become a stockbroker who's successful. It's this sort of, he achieves the American dream with job, status, wealth, and security. It ends with this line, "You want something? Go get it, period." So the message is, if you want happiness, you just need to organize your life, train your mind and body, acquire enough stuff, and you will achieve happiness. So is Jesus offering happiness? No. Like Simon was sharing last week, Jesus does not promise to make us comfortable, but to bring comfort, to be with us. So his offer is life and relationship, not feeling. Okay, so what about meekness? "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." So is Jesus telling us then to make ourselves meek? Remember, meekness is not an attitude, it's a condition. Jesus is blessing those who are powerless. So does he want us to put ourselves into a position of vulnerability where people might take advantage of us, to deliberately get into terrible situations? Well, not entirely. That would miss the point again. Remember, this is not about doing something. It's about believing and receiving. It's not about an attitude. It's about our condition. It's about opening our eyes, having a revelation of our situation and our condition. In my late 20s, I'd reached, probably in the eyes of the world, the peak of my life. I had a great job. I was traveling the world, earning lots of money, lots of friendships. I was really fit, doing all these triathlons. So materially, I didn't have a care in the world. And in his loving, sensitive way, God revealed to me my condition was one of death, spiritual death. I had everything materially that I could ever want, yet I was slowly dying inside. Yes, I had a job, but I didn't really have any sense of real meaning and purpose. Yes, I had friends, but they didn't really know the real me. Deep down, I was quite lonely. Yes, I had money, but it didn't do anything more than bring momentary, temporary satisfaction. I was blind to the fact that I was actually spiritually bereft. So God put alongside me some humble, meek people in need. And I lived and volunteered at a drug and alcohol rehabilitation home. And as a result, I started to see my own poverty. God started to peel back those layers of protection and denial that lay around my mind and my life. I remember one chap, Peter, at the rehabilitation home. We ended up arguing almost every day. And I could see, you know, his brokenness. It was, you know, his issues. That was the real reason that, you know, we struggled. And yet over the months, I started to just see how controlling I was, how subtly manipulative I had been. and how judgmental I am. And it was sobering and convicting. God lovingly challenged me, revealing my arrogance, my pride, my brokenness, my spiritual poverty. And so what I learned is that although I felt like my life was all in control, I was actually quite powerless and meek. Even though I thought my life was quite sorted, God revealed to me my shortcomings, my sin, my brokenness. And the ironic part and the good news is that by not trying to change myself, but by accepting myself, warts and all, with all that brokenness and rubbish, Jesus started to change me. I started a journey of becoming a better person, a better father, a better husband. And Jesus continues to change me. He's changed me in so many ways, I can't begin to tell you. You know, I didn't always used to look this handsome and suave and debonair. Jesus has been doing a lot of work. So when I reflect on these words, blessed are the meek, and I consider my life, my eyes are opened to my own spiritual poverty and powerlessness. I see how blessed I am. These 10 words of Jesus turn my life upside down. I'm not blessed because of what I've achieved or what I own, anything that I've done, but because of the sorry state of my soul. And despite this, through the grace and love of God, I inherit the earth. But there's one final aspect that I want to focus on this morning. And it's this term, powerless. Because although, yeah, we're powerless over our sin, we're powerless over which family or which country we're born in, we're powerless over how long we live, we do have a great deal of power and influence at our disposal. Jesus is our ultimate model of meekness. And yet you'd never describe him as weak. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is actually power and strength. But not our power. God's power. I want to show you a short clip from a film called Coach Carter. It's about a basketball coach who opens the eyes of some young men who are in poverty in California. And Coach Carter has been asking one of these young men throughout the film, what is your greatest fear? And at the end, he gives this response.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same, as we are liberated from our own fear. Our presence automatically liberates others. Sir, I just want to say thank you.
We are powerful beyond measure. You see, we need meekness because we have access to this power. And so we have a choice of what we do with it. We can use this power to build or to destroy. Let me give you a picture to illustrate this power. Two of the loudest man-made noises, two of the loudest man-made sounds on this earth are those of a nuclear bomb and of the Saturn V rocket that sent man to the moon. Great and intense power. One to cause enormous destruction and death. And the other, harnessing power to do something far more constructive. Well, you could easily argue how constructive sending a man to the moon was. But my point is that we have a choice of how we use the power at our disposal. We have three choices of how we live with this power. We can live the out-of-control life. Like an explosion, We never know what you'll get. We can go off and do incredible, passionate things and achieve lots, but we might look back and see the implications later of how that's impacted others, which has perhaps not been as positive. We could live the in-control life, organized, calm, very nice. But then we're left with that sense of, there must be more to life than this. Or we can live the under-control life, under God's control. And we see this demonstrated by Jesus, because his focus is on other people. Through his meekness, he's willing to suffer for us, even though he had the power to rescue himself, to help himself. He didn't have to die. He chose to die. He chose to follow the Father's plan. And he stepped in whenever the vulnerable, whenever the needy, whenever the powerless were in need. And we can similarly make choices to come under God's power and be used by him. So when somebody pushes our buttons, maybe we've been neglected. Maybe some friends have been out socializing and we see on social media that we've been left out. Or perhaps someone's wronged us and we're aggrieved. We have a choice of what we can do. We can use the power that we've got to hit back, to fight back, to control, or we can choose to love, to be gentle. Real power is the opposite of just going out to be noticed. It is about looking for the vulnerable and helping them, encouraging them, other people who have perhaps been left out. And when somebody's wronged us, we've got the choice. We can hold on to that grudge. But of course, unforgiveness hurts us more than anybody else. Yet how can we possibly find the strength to forgive? Jesus was at his most meek when he forgave those who were killing him. And only his Father could give him the strength to do this. And it's the same for us. We need the power and the resources of God to be able to operate in this way. We need meekness to handle God's power. So these 10 words of Jesus, which turn everything upside down, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Are we going to allow our eyes to be open to these truths and see our own powerlessness, accept ourselves? And how are we going to handle the power and control that we have? Are we going to go running after the things of this world, live a life of chaos? Or are we going to hold all the strings and batten down the hatches and live a life in control? Or are we going to allow God to influence and steer our daily lives, our goals, choosing to love, choosing to help, choosing to forgive? And so when we feel powerless, remember who is in control. It's Jesus. He is with you. And through his meekness, he has already blessed you. So believe.